To get rid of unstated assumptions, we can fill in what we now see as gaps, and the results still stand. Significant Figures investigates the almost mystical process that brings new mathematics into being. Mathematics doesn't arise in a vacuum. It's created by people. Among them are some with astonishing originality and clarity of mind. The people we associate with great breakthroughs, the pioneers, the trailblazers, the significant figures. Historians rightly explain that the work of the greats depended on a vast supporting cast, contributing tiny bits and pieces to the overall puzzle. Important or fruitful questions can be stated by relative unknowns. Major ideas can be dimly perceived by people who lack the technical ability to turn them into powerful new methods and viewpoints. Newton remarked that he stood on the shoulders of giants. He was to some extent being sarcastic. Several of those giants, notably Robert Hooke, were complaining that Newton was not so much standing on their shoulders as treading on their toes by not giving them fair credit, or by taking the credit in public despite citing their contributions in his writings. However, Newton spoke truly. His great syntheses of motion, gravity, and light depended on a huge number of insights from his intellectual predecessors. Nor were they exclusively giants. Ordinary people played a significant part too. Nevertheless, the giants stand out, leading the way while the rest of us follow. Through the lives and works of a selection of significant figures, we can gain insight into how new mathematics is created, who created it, and how they lived. I think of them not just as pioneers who showed the rest of us the way, but as trailblazers who hacked traversable paths through the tangled undergrowth of the sprawling jungle of mathematical thought. They spent much of their time struggling through thorn bushes and swamps, but from time to time, they came across a lost city of the elephants, or an El Dorado, uncovering precious jewels hidden among the undergrowth. They penetrated regions of thought previously unknown to humankind. Indeed, they created those regions. The mathematical jungle isn't like the Amazon rainforest or the African Congo. The mathematical trailblazer isn't a David Livingstone, hacking a route along the Zambezi or hunting for the source of the Nile. Livingstone was discovering things that were already there. Indeed, the local inhabitants knew they were there. But in those days, Europeans interpreted discovery as Europeans bringing things to the attention of other Europeans. Mathematical trailblazers don't merely explore a pre-existing jungle. There's a sense in which they create the jungle as they proceed, as if new plants are springing to life in their footsteps, rapidly becoming saplings, then mighty trees. However, it feels as if there's a pre-existing jungle, because you don't get to choose which plants spring to life. You choose where to tread, but you can't decide to discover a clump of mahogany trees if what actually turns up there is a mangrove swamp. This, I think, is the source of the still popular Platonist view of mathematical ideas, that mathematical truths really exist, but they do so in an ideal form, in some sort of parallel reality, which has always existed and always will. In this view, when we prove a new theorem, we just find out what has been there all along. I don't think that Platonism makes literal sense, but it accurately describes the process of mathematical research. You don't get to choose. All you can do is shake the bushes and see if anything drops out. In What is Mathematics Really?, Reuben Hirsch offers a more realistic view of mathematics. It's a shared human mental construct. In this respect, it's much like money. Money isn't really lumps of metal or pieces of paper or numbers in a computer. It's a shared set of conventions about how we exchange lumps of metal, pieces of paper, and numbers in a computer, for each other or for goods. Hirsch outraged some.